It's just worth coming to church on Sunday morning to hear this choir, isn't it? Amen. Great job. Great job. I'll take your Bibles this morning. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2, looking at a couple of verses. Work out your salvation. That's what it says. The KJV, King James Version, says work out your own salvation. So follow along with me as we look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, which says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed," always, that means it was perfect, right? The church was perfect, always obeyed, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And of course, Paul, we know he was in prison. "Work out your salvation," or your own salvation, "with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good will," or his good pleasure, "in your life." So, Philippians is a good book to read. It's a good book to find out where you are with your relationship with Jesus Christ. And Mark Twain said, I don't know if you read much about Mark Twain. Some of the things he says is good. Some of them, you often wonder. But Mark Twain said, "Few things are annoying as good example." Now, you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, I give it a lot of thought to that. I think he meant that it is can be inspire you. Life can inspire you, but not empower you, okay? Now, seeing someone as an example can make you want to be like them. And sometimes you probably look at somebody and say, oh, look at their life. I would like to walk in their footsteps, or I would like to spend time with them. I like to get to know them more because they are so inspiring. But can they empower you in life is what Mark Twain is saying. So, seeing someone as a good example can make you want to be like them, but in no way does it give you the ability to do so. Now, Paul has just told us what a good example Jesus Christ is for us. He just told us that here in these two verses. Now, living for others or living for self and sacrificing for others is important, according to Paul, but we are inspired. Now, how do we do that? Paul inspires us. Well, the choir inspired us this morning with singing, uplifting music. Things that build us up, inspire us. How does it empower us in our working out our salvation? Looking at the Bible or reading the Bible, digesting it, should empower us, and it will empower us if we take it and read it and apply it to our lives. So the good news is Jesus not only inspires us, he enables us from the inside out because he lives within our hearts. See, it's why he comes in to take up residence in our heart. He gives us not only the pattern, but he also gives us the power. And I spoke a little bit on that last week from Revelations chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. He wants to empower us, and we are empowered if we would just plug in and use that energy that he gives us through the work of the Holy Spirit to do his will His good pleasure in our life. In verse 13, Paul is saying Christianity is not just an imitation. It's by incarnation or impartation. And that means of spiritual life to those who are by nature dead in their trespasses in sin. So we have put sin behind us, and now we're moving forward, as Paul would say, working out our salvation. Not to be saved or keep being saved, but working it out daily. Putting the past, the old nature, the things that we once did or we were enslaved to. Sin is being enslaved. Satan is behind all of that. So he wants to empower us to do even more. Now, say that I wanted to box someone. I was going to be a fighter or a boxer. And I wanted to fight someone far bigger than better than me. Now, I enlist one of you as my coach. You say, we're going to watch film clips of a great boxer like Ali, Muhammad Ali. Well, that's good. But can he only inspire me? But what if his spirit and ability could fill me? You see the difference? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he, what? That is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. So greater is he that is in me. Who is that? That's Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in me because he resides, he lives in us. So not only are we inspired by Jesus Christ in our life, but he empowers us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see the difference there? Then he that is in the world, who is who? Satan. Yes, he is in the world. He's in this world today. He's very active. And he'll try to trip you up. He'll get his foot in the door of your life. And if you don't watch, he'll get his whole being and self into your life. And that's what he wants to do, to destroy. But he can't. Christians, because we belong to the Lord. But he can distract us and get us going to down the wrong road so easily if we allow him to get into our life. So when you look at all religions or all other religions, they say, follow our leader and his example. And we have seen some chaos and destruction in people's life who follow the wrong leaders in life and lead them in the wrong direction, away from Christ rather than to him. So Christianity says, come and follow Jesus, who is alive and will actually do work through you. So we always want to give glory to God, because greater is he that is in you or me than he that is in the world. So verse 12. If we look at that verse, it says, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now, in my absence, you're still doing that. But Paul is saying, good for you. I don't have to just be in your presence that you obey the word, but you're continuing that way, even because I'm in prison. And it's because Paul says, the Spirit of God not only inspires you, but is empowering you to continue to live, to work out your salvation. And we have to do that on a daily basis. So, it's not like when the cat's away, the mice play, right? You've heard that statement. But, and that's often true, probably. But, this is a mature group of believers he is writing to. They're mature. They're into the word. They followed Paul's instructions while he was in their presence. He said, while I'm in your presence, you obey. And now that I hear that you're continuing what you learned and what you conceived in your heart, and you're still following and working out your salvation. but he encouraged them to keep doing that. So they are serving God, not the pastor. They're serving God. See, you don't serve pastor or spiritual leaders. You serve God. We lead. We instruct. We equip. And that's what Paul did, and that's what we do today in the churches. We equip and we lead in a spiritual manner in order that we grow together in Christ. That's what we want to do together. Now, you know, I've disappointed myself, haven't you? And we've probably disappointed others, haven't we, in our life. And that's human nature sometimes. But I've never been disappointed in Christ, have you? And I can't ever blame Christ for any of my mishaps or flaws or anything. If I trip up, it's my own fault. If I take my eyes off the Lord, it's my fault. You know, being inspired is one thing, but we need to continually to be empowered, to be able to continue to work and strive, as the Bible says, to please the will of God in our lives. So, see, we don't just work when supervised, right? If a supervisor is away, we do what? We continue to do our job. We do it as we are doing it unto the Lord. And I know too many say, well, you know, I've worked in places where the boss is not here. We can kind of relax. Well, no, you don't. If you relax, you're not doing yourself justice or your supervisor or whoever you're working for. It means you're showing a sign of laziness. You may be showing your true self. And Paul's saying, you know, you're holding true to yourself, your godliness in my absence. And he said, it's not me, but you're holding true to God. You see, there's one thing about us. We can be in each other's presence, and then we could be out of your presence and continue on doing what we know we're supposed to do. But guess what? You're always in the presence of God, right? So we can't skirt him. We can't, you know, go and hide. We can hide, but, you know, but he can still knows everything that we do. So we always need to be on our best behavior, right? Well, always need to be putting forth our best for the Lord, because he knows what we're doing. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. So everything needs to be perfectly intact. As Paul says, obey in the presence and inside of God. So, it's like a man had an interview, and they said, you're hired. What will I be paid? And they say, exactly what you're worth. Can you ever live up to that? I served a church one time, and one of the deacons, and deacons don't take this to heart, or don't think that this is something you need to expect either, but the deacon came up to me, and he says, it doesn't matter what this church pays you, you're going to earn it. So I tried to figure that out. So it didn't matter, you know. You earned it. It was one of these churches you did earn, no matter what they paid you. But that was the wrong attitude to me to be stated that way. Now, we're doing ministry, and we're working together. You're not looking at, you know, the salary and all of those things. We're looking, and matter of fact, I did tell him. I said, you're not my boss. The Lord is my boss. I'm serving him, so it didn't matter. If you don't even pay me anything, I'm still serving the Lord. I'll serve here, I'll serve somewhere else. So, you know, when we look at our working out our salvation, he didn't need to work out on his salvation, because he was really a little short on that end. So, but he came a long ways through the ministry and nurturing him and so forth. But that was a mindset. That's a mindset of a lot of people. And Paul said, you know, put all these things behind you and move forward and continue to work out the salvation, being inspired and being empowered by God. So now let's look at great possession that we can have. In verse 12, the latter part of that says, "Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And that's the KJV. Now let's look at that word "own." Your own. This is a personal and progressive way of working out your salvation. It's personal. You know, it's a personal experience. When you were saved, God saved you personally. He looked at you and you only. When he looked at my sin in my life, he looked at me and offered salvation to me. So from that point on, I begin to realize, okay, from this day forward, I need to work continually. And what are these things that God completely removes from my life, or some of the other things that he had to work a little bit more intently with in my life to get me where I needed to be? But it's personal and progressive. It's an ongoing, continual process in our life. So the greatest thing that we can ever own cannot be driven or lived in worn or bought. See, that's what the Bible calls so great a salvation. Think about our salvation. So great a salvation that God has given us. So, and I possess it, me, my name is on the roll, God's roll. So it takes care of my past, it takes care of my present, right now, and my future as we continue to work out our salvation day by day, past, present, future. So that means we're saved from our past, we are saved from our present, and into the future, past, present, future. See, I've been saved, I am being saved, and I'm going to be saved as I work out my salvation for the Lord. Now, but before it was mine, who did it belong to? My salvation. It belonged to God, didn't it? But he provided it to each one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Psalms, we see it says, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." The salvation that he gives us. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our salvation. See, God the Father planned our salvation in eternity past. You can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where Adam and Eve, they had sinned. God said, you know, you've sinned. You missed the mark. You disobeyed me. So now I've got to make other provisions, not only for you, for the next generations to come, for the next centuries to come. And he made it. He made that provision back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God had a plan from the very beginning, and he keeps working to perfect us to be where we need to be. Now, so God had a plan for our salvation in eternity past. God the Son purchased our salvation at Calvary, and God the Holy Spirit preserves our salvation to us today, and that is forever and ever. And there's some denominations, there's some believe that you can lose your salvation, but according to scriptures and what we read and study, and we believe as Baptists, when he saves you, he gives you the gift, because it's a gift that God gives us. It's not something God said, well, it's a free gift as long as you live up to it, and then if you don't, I'll take it back. But it's like Paul says, do I go on sinning in Romans chapter 6? Do I go on sinning so that more grace will abound for me? And he says, don't even think about it. That's not the Christian thought. That's not the way of life for the Christian, to keep go on sinning and committing the same sins over and over. Jack Gleason, many of you remember him, the comedian. Funny man. But, you know, you don't always know people's lives. You might see them on screen. You may see them in the movies and theaters and things like that. But you don't know what's going on inside them personally. And on his deathbed, he said, "I'll trade it all to know how to get to heaven. Everything I've accomplished in life, all the fame, fortune, and so forth, now I realize I don't have what I needed, what it took. I would trade everything in my life for heaven." That was his testimony. And some might wonder how much a guy like that left behind. How much did he leave behind? That's right. All of it. Mike Stratton, few weeks ago, it's probably been a few months ago, and he was telling me that you never see a Brinks truck in a funeral procession, but that did happen one time. The guy accidentally got in possession and was right in behind the hearse, and you can imagine what people were thinking, but he accidentally got into the procession and was driving right along until he come to the road and he turned. But we do. We leave it all, don't we? We don't take anything with us, and he never took anything with him either. So now we look at a great program, and that program is to work it out. Not far, but work it out. See, this book was written to the saved. It was written to the Philippian church, and it's written to us today. If he's saying that salvation is by works, then he's writing to the wrong crowd. But he's not. See, he needs to find some lost people if he wants to say that. But the Bible never contradicts itself. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says we're saved through faith by grace. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And we are his workmanship, created unto good works. And then Titus chapter 3 says same things, that we are saved by faith. So, what does it mean to work it out? What does it mean? See, salvation is not just meant as an internal fire insurance. And, of course, if you need fire insurance, see Steve Ball or any of these others. But salvation is not just not for fire insurance. Salvation has present tense. It is meant to give you the abundant life now. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If we be in Christ, we are a new creation." We're new creatures. And that's why Paul says, "Old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come." We're new. And that's why not only we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, but we are empowered to do great things. So salvation will turn you inside out, upside down. It will change your life. We just need to submit and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit each day of our life. And I'm being as serious as I can be to you, as your pastor, as a Christian myself, that we have to yield to the Holy Spirit each day of our life. It'll turn you inside out, upside down. It changes your life. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. Okay? It should lead to good works, and what is placed on the inside should work its way out. So whatever good is in you that God has placed there, all of that should come out. Whatever you put into the computer, whatever you program it, and whatever thing you write and type in, and everything you want to print it out, Well, it's in there. And it's like whatever is programmed and placed in our heart, in our life. And as you read and study the Word of God, and God reveals all these good things, all the recipes of living for Christ, some of the greatest things. I mean, you know, it's icing on the cake when we read it and study it, and then we apply it in our lives. At home, you study, or at church, you study. Wherever you are, in your spare time, if you got a few minutes and you say, well, what am I going to do with these next 5-10 minutes? Well, you got your cell phone, you can pull up the Bible and you can read it. I do that all the time when I'm out somewhere and I'm waiting, and for the next 5, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, I get my cell phone out, and I pull up the Bible and I start reading the scriptures and memorizing scriptures so that I can not only be inspired but empowered, because there's going to be a moment in time when you can use that scripture for someone else who is in need. That's happened to me many, many times. So faith without works is dead, the Bible says. And if nothing happened to you after you walked in the aisle, then nothing happened to you when you walked the aisle. There's got to be a change. It's like mining for gold. Someone says, I know every need you have, so I'm giving you this gold mine. I know every need that you have, so I'm giving you this gold mine. But you have to go inside and dig them up and work them out. I'm giving it to you, but you got to do the work. How many of us would say, ah, never mind, if I got to do the work, I don't want it. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd say, well, thank you, and get in there and get digging. You'd be working. You'd work it out. You'd work it out till you got all the fine little gold nuggets that you could find, because you know it's a great treasure for you. The Word of God is a great treasure for us. And when we got saved, we got the gold mine, right? We got all the resources that God provides in our lives. And all we got to do is work it out, dig it out, and we'll find it. And he'll show it to us. He'll reveal it to us. That's a promise. See, it was a free gift. We didn't have to work it out, did we, for our salvation, because God offered that to us. It's all there at our disposal. And that's the good thing about salvation. God worked that out for us. All we got to do is work out our salvation day by day. See, but God is not in the quick fix business, is he? We have to be willing to work at it. See, we get our lives in a big mess sometimes, don't we? By bad choices and wrong living, and then expect God to make it well instantly. Well, Lord, I know I made a mess, so you fix it for me right quick. I don't know how many people that's called me on the phone or come to my office in years past and said, you know, I made a big mistake, or I've done this and everything, and can you pray God to fix it for me right now? Yeah, I can do that. But you got to work it out. Show God how serious you are. And in my own life as well, I got to show God how serious I am. If I ask him to forgive me of a sin, I got to work it out. I got to work out my salvation, continually showing my obedience to him and my worthiness to continue to serve him. So let's get back to work. Let's do it God's way, according to what the Bible says. See, we are to get into God's word, study it, do it God's way. And 2 Timothy gives us a good example of this when he says, study to do what? Show yourself approved. So we had to prove ourselves. Are we worthy? Or are we willing to work it out? So we are to study the Word of God. Study thyself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So none of us should be ashamed. If someone asks us of something from the Word of God, or some encouragement, or some enlightenment from the Word, how can I overcome this? How can God help me in this area? You say, well, I've got to perfect example, the perfect scripture. God has worked in my life, and this is similar to what I went through and how God worked that out in my life. I want to share this with you. What a perfect example, a witness for you and me when someone comes to us and say, you know, here's the scripture. And therefore, it is so important to study to show that we are approved as good workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've been given a gold mine, as I said a while ago. Let's pull it out and some gems for ourselves, because there are so many things in here that God wants to do in our life. Let's pull out some good gems for ourselves with deep reverence and fear. And that's what that verse is saying. Not being scared of what might happen, but a holy reverence, a holy respect, a holy awe. Wow. That's how God works. That's what he's doing. That's what he wants to do in my life. I'm being inspired not only that way, but I'm in being empowered because I'm being faithful. I'm being obedient to his word. I'm digging in. I'm working it out because he has given me the gold mine of all the resources that he has. And all I have to do, my part, is to get in and work it out and be empowered even more so. So there is great power. There is great power in knowing the word of God and working it out in our lives. And verse 13 says, God must work in us before he can work through us. Come on, let's go. Just a second here. Well, it's a glitch just happened here. So, the great power. God must work in us before he can work through us. So, if we have the Holy Spirit within our life, he's working in us. He's there. He's in us, and then he wants to work through our lives. See, we cannot live the Christian life on our own. Have you ever tried that? Disciples found out they couldn't do it. They figured out, you know, they had the power one day. They had the ability to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to heal people. And when that didn't happen, they would go to Jesus and say, hey, what's happened to us? We was able to cast out demons and provide power in people's lives. What has taken place? You know what Jesus said? Well, you haven't been in the Word. You hadn't spent time in prayer. And when you spend time in prayer, then you're going to not only be inspired, but you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So many of us only work hard when there is a pressure from the outside. And Lord, I mean, forbid it if we look at it this way in our relationship with the Lord. See, we need to work hard because of the power that is inside us. See, we just need to release it and let it out. See, the word work in verse 13 is a different word than the one in verse 12. See, it is from the root word energy, and it's God's power at work. It's not our own power, but it's God's power at work. So, a few years ago, I saw a man pumping what looked like a well. He was going strong and never slowed down. And when I got closer, I could see that it was a little force-driven well. It being forced from the bottom, pushing up through like rocks and so forth, like hydrostatic type system. The man was a wooden cutout, And he wasn't pumping the well. The well was pumping him. And sometimes that's what happens. See, we, instead of being pumped by something, you know, we need to allow God's power to work in and through our lives. In closing, Paul says, work out our salvation. Work out our salvation. So, do you have the great possession? Work it out and make sure that you work hard to show the results of your salvation. See, that's what God wants in our life. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. If you look that up in a New Living Translation, still fear and trembling, the New Living Translation says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I like that. So, the question is this morning, will you enter in the mine and dig and use the great power of God that he has given you? That's what Paul is telling us this morning. Work it out for his honor and his glory, and it will be a tremendous blessing if we do it God's way. See, that's what he's calling us to do this morning. So just simply work it out. Because we're always in his presence. And Paul says, you know, you people at Philippians, Philippia, the Philippian church, just because Paul wasn't in their presence, you know, he had taught them and he had given his life to them in teaching and preaching. And he said, now I don't have to worry about it. You know, I'm in a predicament here, but I'm hearing so much great things of you because you are being faithful. You're continually working, continually being powered, inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that gives us great comfort. You know, any church without a pastor can continue to work things out for the Lord because you're equipped, you're empowered. We're all empowered by the Holy Spirit. See, pastors are spiritual leaders. They're equippers of the saints, as Ephesians chapter 4 says. And see, and that's what Paul says, I'm in your absence, but you're continuing on, knowing what God has empowered you to do. So even though I want to be there, I can't because I'm in prison, you're still carrying on the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's being empowered. That's a healthy church. And Pastor and I was met on Thursday. We were talking about healthy churches that are able to continue on and working through their struggles and everything in life. Being healthy doesn't mean you got great numbers. It means whoever you have, the people are healthy. You don't go to the doctor, do you, when you're if you're healthy? And a lot of people don't go when they're sick. So they get sicker. So sometimes we as Christians, we don't go to the Word of God because, you know, when we need to, and we need to do that daily. We don't wait till we get sick, downtrodden, hardships and sufferings and griefs and all the things. If we stay in the Word, see, we'll always be empowered. It inspires us, but we're being empowered no matter what. That's what God is saying. Work out. Work out your salvation with reverence so God will work his will and purpose through you. And guess who gets the blessing? We do. You do. And he gets the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you do inspire us through your word and you empower us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you give us your word. And if we don't use it, Lord, then we're the ones that will suffer from it, especially when we need you the most. And that's in everyday life that we need you to make good choices and live right and make good decisions, not only for ourselves, but maybe to help someone else. But Lord, it just helps us to please you and be obedient to you, because we're always in your presence. And Lord, we always need to be on our best behavior, no matter what, in the absence of one another, and especially you. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally this morning, doesn't know the salvation that you offer, Lord, you make it clear through John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you gave your only begotten Son, we can have eternal life. So this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here that your Holy Spirit has been speaking to over the past few weeks, and especially this morning, come forward and accept your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for them right now, that your Spirit will make it clear to them what they need to do. Anyone looking for a church home, Lord, Versailles Baptist Church is a loving church. It's a great church, wanting to serve you and add to your kingdom. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you lead in that decision. Lord, sometimes we fail to realize that you're still calling people into ministry. There may be someone here this morning that knows down deep inside their heart that you're calling them to some special ministry or task. And all we need to do is just recognize it and say, Lord, I'm available. That's all it takes. And with a little instruction, studying your word and the right mentoring, Lord, you're moving even more in that direction. Lord, let your will be done in this invitation, and we just pray and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for leading us and guiding us and pointing us in the right direction. We praise you and we thank you. We commit this invitation, Lord, on your behalf to all of us here today to make good decisions, the right choice to follow you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 393, Nearer My God to Thee. May we stand as we sing. Be leaving just right here during the prayer time, and I think Brent, you're going to be back to greet this morning since Brenda's not here, and so forth. So thank you for coming. Don't forget about Wednesday night, 5:30 prayer time, and 6 our Bible study time. We have a good time, so you come and be a part of continued ministry. Don't forget about next Sunday. We're having the ordination of Shannon Smalls. Shannon, raise your hand. Everybody knows Shannon, don't you? So looking forward to that. It's going to be a great service, and that will be our service, our ordination service. You don't want to miss that. And be inviting people to come out, and any ordained man and wants to come and be a part of this, you can get the word out to them as well. Thank you again for being here. And Shannon, if you don't mind, close us in prayer.